your favorite thing at Disneyland?
I like the Tea Party.
The Tea Party.
Tea Party ride. Do you like the music?
Do you like the Tea Party ride?
I do. That one makes me kind of dizzy now, though.
It does not make me dizzy.
That's because you're young.
You've got a good 30 years.
That's fun. They're spinning very fast.
Yes. It's very colorful, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules.
We're a conversational podcast about various topics like mom life, relationships, body positivity, and what's trending.
We are women supporting women through chit-chat and laughs.
We promise to be candid, relatable, and best of all, we're not afraid to laugh at ourselves.
So thanks for joining us. Enjoy. Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. I'm Nicole, the admin for the Enraged Women Facebook group, and joining me is Jules, the one and only suburban artsy mom. Hey, Jules.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm loving your makeup today. It's really fun and bright, and like you did it up because we have a special guest today.
Yes.
Yes. Today is a very, very special episode because my mom has reluctantly agreed to be a guest, which is not reluctantly. I mean, I know she's excited to be here, but she's, you know, not as let's put everything out there as Nicole and I are.
Yeah. So. Millennials for you. Right?
Yes. So everyone, I'd love to introduce to you my mom, Janie Zumo. She is an incredible person. I'm going to say an award-winning photographer. I don't know if you've won awards, but...
Yes, I have.
Well, there you go.
Oh, good.
I know. Well, I'm like, I'm just going to lie.
She won my award.
Right? She's an award-winning photographer and an animal lover for her entire life, and she is my mom. Welcome, Janie.
Hi.
Hello.
It'll take her a minute to warm up. We should have given her a shot of tequila.
Oh, yeah. But right now we're drinking tea.
Yeah.
Tea is the next best thing, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
We're you know, responsible adults.
Let me spike it. I've got this like pumpkin spice liqueur that my husband bought me. She'll never even know it's in her tea. It's already in there.
So, the lipstick you mentioned I'm wearing earlier is the one I mentioned last episode that I bought for Cyber Monday. It's the purple that inspired me. It was like Ursula inspired,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Rockin' Purple.
It does have a very Ursula vibe to it.
Yeah, it looks just like Ursula, right?
Yeah.
And when it's funny because I told Janie earlier when I got the package at home and I opened it, I mean, this was $3, but I thought, oh no, when I saw it in its bottle, I thought, I can't wear this. It scared me. And so then I put it on and I actually fell in love.
Yeah.
It's really
pretty. It's funny
yeah.
that you were so, you know, apprehensive about it because it really compliments your skin tone.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I love it. I mean, we took a couple pictures that we're going to post so everybody will be able to see it.
Yeah, we put on Christmas hats and everything. It was
So,
Mom, tell me about the lipstick you're wearing.
I'm wearing a lipstick called Thrive. The color is called Eileen, but it's made by a company called Thrive.
Okay.
Thrive Cosmetics.
Cos is spelled C-A-U-S-E rather than
I noticed
regular.
That on
Millennials.
Their website.
Yeah. And they donate a portion of their proceeds to women in need, and they name all of their products after special women, extraordinary women.
Oh.
So this one's called Eileen. It's kind of a almost nude with a little bit of pink in it.
Yeah.
And I gave Julianne one, so she's wearing the
same
thing.
Yes, we are wearing lipstick twins.
Lipstick.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they had a deal. It was a two for one thing. And I should have mixed and matched because when I got it, I thought about it and I'm like, oh. By the time I'm done with one of these, the other one's probably going to be spoiled, you know, because it won't last that long.
Oh, yeah.
That was silly. So I gave one to Julia.
Okay.
Good.
Next time, do a mix and match thing. That way you can try it on and decide which color looks best on you. And then, like, the reject, be like, a gift for you.
Yes. I'd like to. try one shade darker. I like mauves more than a light mauve kind of thing. More than, I do like this, but I really kind of feel like it's nude.
Yeah.
But I do like light. It has the, I like playing with it.
Everybody. I know the lid is magnetic. It's like a soft close magnet. Like,
oh, yeah. I know. Perfect. I love this company already. They donate and they have that cool cover.
I felt like it was a perfect lipstick for this.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. And I'm surprised that we haven't. We're slacking. Nicole.
Yeah, I see it all the time in my newsfeed on online on Instagram or Facebook.
Well, that's where I saw it too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it looks great. I just never bought from there yet, but I will. Yeah. Now that I know the background, I want to actually.
I almost bought their mascara once, I think.
Okay.
And then I did not.
Well, and they also say they're 100% vegan and
all that stuff.
Oh,
perfect.
Yeah.
So, okay, less likely to be allergic to.
I know, right?
That's good. Well, what did your weekend look like that just passed?
Oh, goodness.
How was it?
Oh, so I had my holiday boutique over the weekend, and it was the biggest bust that you have ever heard of in your life. Which is funny because our friend also did a boutique on the other side of town on the same day during the same hours. And she said hers was rocking. There were just people in there the whole time. Everyone went to hers.
Oh.
And I mean, there was...
But hers is a high school, right?
It's the ISCV.
Oh, SCVI?
Yeah.
So maybe not.
I think it's an elementary school, right?
Yeah.
But ours, it was so bad. There was a 2-hour span where it was like two people walked in the door.
Oh, that's awful.
It was so bad. And then that was the slow period. The hopping period, it would be like four people walked in the door.
Oh, no.
So,
that's disappointing.
It was so bad. And I met this really great lady next to me. If you guys want to look her up, she's Santa Clarita local. Her Instagram handle is Jessica Makes Wreaths. But she made these gorgeous wreaths, and no one bought not one wreath from her. Ugh. And it was, I felt. Like, she was brushed it off like, better luck next time kind of vibe. But I'm like.
Right.
You
all the
really,
effort that
yeah.
it takes an artist to make anything. It's so disappointing when people don't show up.
And I just have to share this one story. This lady walked up to my booth. And I had all these cute little Disney-inspired plaques and then some other wintry-looking paintings. And this lady walks up and she sees I have these two little plaques. One's Mickey and one's Minnie, and they when you put the plaques together, it looks like they're kissing. So she walks up and she's like, "How much for the kissing Mickey and Minnie?" And I kind of looked at her and I kind of judged her a little bit because I'd been sitting there for 6 hours and made one sale. And I'm like, she's gonna think that 50 is too much, so I told her 40, and her response to me was, "Jesus," and she walked away, and I was like. I am sorry, but I do not print like a screen and transfer it onto a plaque. I sat there, and for those two,
it's not mass produced.
It took me at least 3 hours to do those, and my time is worth more than what she's willing to pay.
Yeah.
So whatever. But it was a bust. But I've sold one online, two of them online since. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's coming
along.
Your
stuff looked really good.
I was really proud of it. It turned out really cute.
Some people are looking for a deal.
Yeah.
Like a garage sale kind of deal when they go to those things. They're not really looking to pay retail prices.
Yeah. If they're not in an actual store, they think, it should be at least half of what the store would charge or something.
Right, right.
Which it really is the opposite.
And you don't want to sell to those kind of people anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget her.
Yeah, forget that lady. Which is funny because I eyeballed her when she walked in because she was wearing Mickey ears.
Oh,
like
that would have been perfect.
I'm all, this Disney. And her husband was wearing a Mickey Mouse shirt. I'm like, who dresses like that to go to a boutique? But whatever. But I'm like, these guys, they're a sure sale.
Yes.
She, oh, well. She scoffed at my $40 for two items. Oh,
well. Well, your audience is a more Nordstrom people. Yeah. Not Walmart. Thank you.
High class. Walmart. Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point.
But yes. I did make one sale, and it was within the first half an hour of the boutique being open.
Oh, good.
And I kind of...
Which one did you sell?
The Santa Claus one, where he's... Like, he was, like, flying through... It was a silhouette of Santa flying over the city.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. Yeah.
Good. So yeah. It wasn't a total bust.
It wasn't a total bust.
And you made a friend that knows how to make
wreaths. Did that pay for your table fee?
Yeah. I sold the painting for $45, and the table fee was $30.
So you did make a profit.
I did not make a profit because, I mean, I had to buy all the supplies. Flax.
Yeah.
I had to buy all the supplies to do it. So, but it's fine because, like I said, I'll sell things online, and I'll set up an Etsy shop, and it kind of gets the ball rolling, and... It also, it's like
you'll
a learning experience.
You'll better luck on Etsy because people are used to paying that price on Etsy for That's homemade true. Stuff than right. in person.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They want to haggle in person, so.
So, Nicole, tell me about your weekend.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I went to a comedy show with our mutual friend, and we went with another friend also. We drove to, I think it was like Echo Park area.
Really?
Yeah, which has changed a little. It used to be like... kind of gentrified and new and hipsterish.
Uh-huh.
And now it's gone a little downhill and there's a really? Lot of homeless people.
I so feel like the drive, there's homeless people sad. Everywhere, though. If you head down into LA, you're just going to see
yeah,
homeless people.
But that
it's
used
so
to be
sad.
A real cute area with like shops and cafes. And I mean, those are still there, but we just noticed by the park, the famous park, you know, in LA with the fountains
yeah.
and stuff. It, you know, they're all lined up by the bridges and stuff. So it's like, oh, I wanted to maybe take my daughter down there during the day. But now I realize well, it's not even
no.
worth the drive, you
no.
know?
No.
So there's other places that we could go. But
yeah.
Yeah, the comedy place was down there. It was at the Typewriter. It's called the Dynasty Typewriter at the Hayworth. It was this long name. Yeah.
Someone needs to work on that name.
Yeah. It was like it had two names. And then the stage was kind of cute because it had little typewriters, like old-fashioned typewriters on, you know, vintage furniture. So it was nice. And then the opener was a gal from the Conan O'Brien show.
Oh,
yeah, she's
fun.
A writer and she's on there. And then the person I saw was Michelle Buteau.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's really good. She's very, you know, feminist forward, and she's a big, voluptuous black woman, light skin. And
yeah.
I adore her because I see myself in her. You know, when I watch her stuff, she's really like the best friend to somebody.
Yeah, for anyone who isn't familiar with her, I know a lot of people watched, and I do not remember, go figure, the name of the movie, but that Ali Wong movie that was on Netflix.
Always Be My Maybe.
Yes.
Always Be My Maybe.
Yes, yeah. She was the best friend character in that movie.
Yeah, exactly. And then she has a BET show with Jill Scott, the singer, and one other actress where it's like a remake of the First Wives Club.
Oh.
But like a
I
modern
didn't even know about
version.
That.
Yeah, I've only seen one episode. I don't know. It's pretty cute, but I have other stuff to watch.
You're
so
like,
I watch
there's
that.
A lot yeah. of housewives. So.
Yeah, and when you're getting divorced, you don't really want to watch something about divorce all the time.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I'm living it. I don't need to see it, you know.
Yeah.
But she's very talented and so funny. So we just, my face still hurts from laughing. I loved it. It was awesome.
That's
and
great.
I also wish I could do what she does. I wish I could get on stage and be brave enough to tell jokes and just be
well
myself.
What you did was you went to that show and then you binge watched Mrs. Maisel
yeah.
all weekend, so you're like, I'm comedy
yes,
Nicole right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. I'm like, I think I could do it. Instead I have a podcast.
But you know what, some days we're on fire on the
yes,
podcast, like
yeah.
last episode, everyone tune into last episode because Nicole just drops jokes left and right, like seriously. It was I was just rolling on the ground the whole time because she was just so funny. So
thank
mom
you.
How was your weekend?
Good. I babysat my other daughter, your sister's
yes
kids, because they went to a wedding, and so I watched those guys and they spent the night over at their house, and that was pretty much it.
Okay. That sounds like a good weekend.
Took photos of them. We took them to a pizza parlor.
Oh.
And, you know, we knew going into the pizza parlor we were going to have to shell out quarters. Because that's the whole thing. So we go there and we give them about $10 worth of quarters. And we're like, that's enough. You know, we're going to eat now and we're going to go home. And this elderly couple sitting there said, oh, your grandkids are so cute here. And they gave us $5 more worth of quarters.
Aww,
of course,
nice.
My radars went off. And I'm like, why are they doing that? Are they trying to
like, you cannot touch my children.
What do you want from them?
And then afterwards, I'm like, I need to chill out. They were just being nice.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have grandkids yet. Hoping to have some in the future. And they were just enjoying watching the kids running around and,
that's,
you know,
nice.
So they spent, it ended up being $16 worth of quarters of junk.
Oh,
and most of it was ruined and lost by the time we got back to the house.
But
it was
an
experience.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That's like this morning I sent my daughter to school. Today is her holiday boutique where they go and they walk around and buy presents for the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her $25.
Oh.
Because I don't know how much stuff costs anymore. Yeah. Like when I was a kid, you'd give me $5 and I'd be like, I got $3 extra for a family of five. But I sent her to school. I'm like, okay, you have to buy for mommy, daddy, and your brother.
Uh-huh.
And repeat after me. So all morning long, I'm like, who are you buying for? And then I drop her off at school and she's on the playground. I'm like, okay, who are you buying for? And she's all, mommy, daddy, my brother, and me.
Smart girl.
Yeah.
That's good.
I know, it was great.
I actually forgot to give my daughter money. So we're going to go after school because it's still open and I'll just be there. But I'll just say, okay, I won't look at what you buy me. But
yeah.
I remember when you guys were little, you'd come home with your little packages and want me to open it right then, that day.
Oh. Well, that's what I told her this morning. I'm like, okay, so these are Christmas presents. We're not going to open them until Christmas. And then there was a meltdown. So I was like, well, we'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. Choose your battle.
Yeah. I know. Like, if you want me to open your little, I don't know, crafty reindeer thing when you get home, fine.
The noodle necklace.
I know, huh? That she paid $7 for.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this episode, and it occurred to me that as a mom, that there are conversations that you should have with your own mom. You know, I'm 5 years into being a mom, and I know my mom, obviously. I love her. We're you know, I'd consider us best friends, and yet there's still so many things that I don't know about her. It's not like I sit down and talk about, what was it like when I was five?
Yeah.
So
there's stuff you'll never know. I'm just going to say that right
now. Well, then.
This sounds so intriguing.
Get out the tequila. Yeah. But I wanted to sit down and just have a conversation with her, and Nicole thought that was a great idea. So we are doing a podcast about it. I'm also going to write it up on my blog. It's going to be a whole thing. We're going to be famous.
Are you going to do this with your mom?
I want to.
She did not want to do the podcast.
Yeah. I figured if you do it first, then maybe she'll warm up to the idea.
Maybe she'll just want to do the blog.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. I'll ask her again. She might not want to do a full episode. Maybe she'll do a segment. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But she's very interesting. And just like you said, like, once you become a mom, you don't realize how much, one, your mom loves you.
Yeah.
And then how much you love your mom,
mm-hmm.
and what they've done for you. And then I remember becoming a mom, and within, like, the first 5 days, I just cried, and I apologized to my mom. I'm sorry for everything I've ever done to you, you know. I was in the mix of, like, newborn
days. Yeah,
and
then I was
thinking, oh my gosh, there's things in my teen years that I just should not have done.
Yeah.
You know, you did this for me, and then I treated you like this, you know. Not terrible, but
it was all
very hormonal.
And our daughters are
going
to do the same to us, Nicole.
Yes, they already are.
So let's get into this. So, Mom, why don't you tell us just briefly about your childhood? What was it like? Where did you live? All of that stuff. I know a lot of this already, but we're asking
I don't.
These questions.
Yeah.
Well, I have had a mom and dad and a half-sister and a half-brother who were a lot older than I was. So they moved out. My sister moved out when I was, like, I want to say three or four. My brother moved out when I was born. He was like 18 when I was born. He went to the Navy.
Okay.
So then my sister moved out. So I really have no memory. A very slight memory of her sleeping in the other room, but I can't remember if that's a picture or somebody talked about her sleeping there or what.
Yeah.
But, so I, and then she moved away and got married and moved to the East Coast. And, you know, you're a kid. Nobody talked about her really anymore. And
you forgot. Out of sight, out of mind.
and then it was like, I don't know, I was like five or something. And my mom goes, oh, your sister's on the phone. I'm like, I got a sister. What
the? Poor sister. Whatever.
But anyways, she might listen to this. I don't know. Oh. But there's a whole backstory to that.
Yeah.
But, and we might get into that later. I don't know. But anyways, I was a daddy's girl, and my mom was nurturing and stuff, but she wasn't a huggy-kissy kind of person. My dad was the huggy-kissy. Yeah. My dad was like, come here, you're going to learn how to change a tire, and you're going to learn how to change the oil. And this, okay, my dad was from a farm. Mm-hmm. So
I always picture I look at his the pictures of him growing up, and it always reminds me of like the Grapes of Wrath.
Yeah, that
you know, yeah, like they lived in the Great Plains, and you know,
Ohio. But.
Well, but
I mean, California, that's the Great Plains.
But yeah, I mean, you look at some of their pictures, and it does feel like they lived in a completely different world than what we knew.
So anyway, so my dad always got me animals, and we had rabbits and. You don't have rabbits unless you're going to eat them, kind of thing.
Oh my gosh! So
he would.
You agree?
He was.
Well,
I know your dad.
So he taught me how to butcher rabbits at like 4 years old, and we'd hang them from my swing set, and I'd hit them upside the head.
Oh!
And then my dad would slit their throat.
Oh, geez.
It just gets better and better.
And then we tan the hides, and so then I had all these like rabbit hides all over my room. And
I had rabbit hides in my room too, growing up. Yeah.
So
wait, explain what?
Like
the
skin, the skin of a rabbit.
Oh, okay.
So it's like basically like the leather of a rabbit, but there's the fur on it. So yeah, it would be like a little tiny rabbit fur.
Yeah, about this.
And then what would you do with it?
It would just be there.
I put it on a table and a candle.
Oh, so it'd be like a decorative thing. Okay.
That kind of thing.
Okay.
So.
Because I was imagining, by the way things were going, I was imagining like rabbit carcasses all around the
room. No, but it's funny, the rabbits hung from your swing set. I remember going over to my grandpa's house as a kid and walking out into the garage and there'd just be like a wolf hanging in the garage, a carcass wolf just hanging there.
Yeah.
I think Chris still has a bear hide.
Yeah.
Yeah. That my dad shot a bear.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's just what I grew up with.
That's just the culture.
My dad got me a horse, and I didn't ask ahead of time. I was going about my life. And my dad got a horse.
Jeez.
So I'm like,
lucky. Yeah.
Awesome. So then I became very horsey as far as riding and just loving horses. And then we moved around a lot. As I went to 12 different schools, kindergarten through 12th grade.
Okay.
And 7th and 8th grade were the same school, and high school is all the same school. So 10 schools, kindergarten through 6th grade.
So early.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really had to adjust.
I was always the new kid, and it kind of molds who you are sometimes I'm like, why am I like that? Oh yeah, I was always the new kid. I always got to make an impression.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That kind of thing. So anyhow, I felt my childhood was normal.
Yeah.
My parents were a little dysfunctional. They fought a lot, but I thought all families had things going on, you know. My cousins, I had a lot of cousins, but they were all on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then like Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ohio and Virginia and Pennsylvania and stuff.
Okay.
All over there. And so we moved a lot. We moved from California to Ohio to West Virginia to Virginia to Florida and then back to California.
What was your favorite?
Oh, California. Okay. I wasn't born
That's
here.
That's why she stayed here.
Yeah.
I was born in Virginia, but we only lived there, I think, like 6 months or so.
Okay.
And then I lived there again when I was about six. Mm-hmm. So, six or seven, I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I felt I was six, but...
Who knows?
Other people say I was seven. I'm like, whatever the timeline was.
Sure.
Yeah. But a lot of the time when I think back on things and someone says something different, I'm like, my memory is a lot better than yours.
So,
so like, I remember weird dates.
I don't
have
a good memory at all.
Oh, really?
I would not know. Yeah. Well, I haven't lived anywhere other than California.
Yeah,
so, but I guess it would leave an impression if I were somewhere else.
Yeah.
And what age I was, but I don't remember things. I go by the year it was because whatever year it was the grade I was in. Like 1991, I was in first grade.
Yeah.
You know, 92, I was in second grade. And then I do the age from there. You know, I have
to
Are
you two the same age?
I think so.
Oh, she graduated a year before me.
Just because of where your birthday
was. I graduated in 2002.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we were both born in 84, but she was the first part of the year and I was the last part of the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm older.
Yes. So, Mom, as a kid, what was the most trouble you ever got into?
There's two of them. As a little kid... And this will explain a lot to you as me being a witch and all.
Oh, do tell.
I had a friend that lived across the street, and she was one of those that was my friend until somebody else came along.
Yeah.
And then I was the odd man out, and she was doing that to me. And I was getting madder and madder. And I think I had to be like under five, maybe four or five in there somewhere. And it just irritated the crap out of me. So I came home, grabbed a broom, went out there, and hit her upside the head.
Oh, my God.
And so then I came home, and I told my mom, lock all the windows and doors. Don't answer the phone. As soon as I said that, the phone rang.
Oh.
And it was...
Was she okay?
It was the parent.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the parent. Told my mom. So then I had to go over and apologize. And
yeah.
And it's like,
but no, she learned her lesson.
Yeah. Don't mess with me.
Yeah.
And then as a teenager, I ditched school and then went and hung out at school later on that day. And the teacher's class that I ditched, the teacher saw me.
Oh.
And he was a really awesome teacher. I'm still friends with him. And he didn't take it to the office. He just said, you have... you had work to do out on the farm because I was out on the farm at school. I don't know if your school had FFA,
no,
4-H kind of stuff, but my school did, and it had a farm out in the back of the high school.
Oh.
And it made my high school of almost 4,000 kids turn into a high school of 300 kids.
Those were the ones that were out there.
We were all out there all day. I mean, we went up to the main campus to take history and English and stuff.
Sure.
But as soon as our classes were over, we were back out there, and like I had sheep and pigs.
Yeah. Which is so funny because her high school was in Huntington Beach. And you
went
Westminster.
So back then there wasn't anything that built up.
It was
that
still
area,
suburbia.
Yeah, but I mean you wouldn't think that it'd be a farm.
Yeah.
Because I mean
it's still
my high school didn't have that. Yeah. The high schools out in Chino did.
Yeah. It's still there.
Really?
They keep making it smaller. I mean, we had fields and fields that we grew corn and all this stuff, but
that sounds great.
Now there's a softball field where the big corn field was and stuff. But anyways, it's still there. But anyways, this teacher, I had to do work out on a farm, but of course he called my mom
because
our parents were very interactive with this 300 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, so my mom knew. So I got in a lot of trouble because I ditched and got caught.
Mm-hmm.
I was stupid enough to go hang out at the
farm.
Yeah,
I did not ever
ditch.
Oh, really?
There was one time that I did ditch because it was like one of the, you know, pep rallies. No, or it was ditching. I don't remember. But either way, I went home and said, Mom, I ditched. Can you call in my absence? And she did.
Oh, wow.
This girl, I'm going to just go there. I took her. There was this competition at Disneyland, and it was called American Girl. And it was, you had to sing and act and dance. And it was right after
the first season of American Idol.
American Idol.
Okay. So it was like one of the
spin-offs. When all those things were popping up.
Fun.
So I took her out. I set Kate.
Kept it was her at California school. Adventure.
I kept of her all home places from school, to go. And I said, we're going to go do this. And we did it, and you bombed.
I was terrible. Well, because I remember they were like, you can sing, act, or dance. And I was like, great, I'm an actress. Because I was all, like, way into drama at the time. And I was like, I've got this monologue, and my monologue is amazing. So I get up there, and I was like, I was going to do a monologue, and they go, okay, that's great. So could you sing something?
Oh.
It says here on your resume, or whatever it is I filled out, that you sang the national anthem in front of your school. And I was like,
what a setup.
Well, and I was all, I was in fifth grade when I did that. And I'm like 17 now.
My voice has matured so
much.
Yeah,
and they're all, well, let's just hear you sing the national anthem.
Oh, the hardest song.
So, yeah, the hardest song. I wasn't a singer. And I was like, and then I sang it, and they're all, okay, thank you. And I was like, I had a monologue prepared.
Like, people really want to see a monologue at Disneyland. They wanted to see you
sing and dance. So anyways, after she bombed, we left, and we're driving home, and we drive by the Brea Mall, and I go, let's stop at the mall. So we did, and we're walking around, and she's like crying, and I go, what's the matter? And she goes, people are looking at me because I'm not in school.
Oh! Which is so silly, because like, when I was 17,
but you went to
when I was 17, though, it's like, I looked like an adult.
Gosh. Yeah,
I looked like an adult since I was 14.
My gosh. Oh my
God. Look at that.
The press.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. This kid is not in school. Look at Carolette. That is funny.
Man.
I didn't ditch a lot, but I did ditch. There was like a few days throughout the year that was like assigned ditch day by our class, I guess. And then it was uncool if you did show up. You know, so I was like, well, I guess I'm staying home. But I think I told my mom, or it wasn't a big deal.
I think that must have been the day that I ditched, because, like I said, I was all, Mom, I ditched. Can you call it in?
I ditched a lot. I ditched
at least you got your record straight.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's smart.
Well, you could get away with it more when I was younger. So.
Yeah, you really could.
Nothing was digital and on computers and stuff. And
yeah.
I remember my report card came, and my last class was ceramics, which I love ceramics, but being out on a farm, you know, I was out there, and the teacher didn't mind me missing, and she really liked me, and she gave me an A, but my mom was like, how could you miss 40 days and get an A? I'm like,
I'm a very likable person.
Yes. I think it's awesome ceramics. Yeah.
Are like that though. When I was in college, about halfway through the semester, or it was only a 10-week period, but about halfway through, the teacher's like, you don't have to come to class anymore, I'm gonna give you an A.
Oh.
And I was all, okay.
Yeah.
And I still went.
Oh yeah, you still went.
So Mom, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, as a little kid, I wanted to be a nurse, and then I wanted to be a mom, and, you know, the typical things, a stewardess, and...
The typical things in the
70s. Stewardess.
Yeah. Stewardess.
So, like...
A flight attendant, but back then
so
it was called a stewardess.
It was very glamorous, though.
Pan
it was, a very glamorous career choice by then.
You know, nice outfit, fancy hair and heels.
Yeah.
But then as I got older, I wanted to be a veterinarian, which I ended up kind of going into that field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I ended up being a dog groomer for like 25 years and then a dog grooming instructor for adult ed. For quite a few years. So, but the sixth grade, my teacher filled out this. I still have this cute little book that she filled out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
She had us say what we wanted to be, and I think I said a stewardess, but only because at that point I was like, I don't know what I want to be.
Yeah.
Everybody's writing stewardess. Okay, I'll be a stewardess. And then she did her predictions of what she thought everybody was going to be, and she came up with these clever things for her favorite students.
I wish you would have brought it.
Not every student, because some were as offensive as mine.
Oh, okay.
But mine ended up...
Jeez, talk about passive aggressive.
Yeah, mine ended up being a mother of 10. She said I was going to be a mother of 10. I'm like, my mom was more mad about that than even I was. I was like, I don't even want kids.
I mean,
you know? Yeah.
I mean, it's fine if you are a mother, Tim, but why
is that
say
all?
That's but that's what all a kid you're could going
aspire to,
yeah.
to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that all? You're not
be,
setting you up.
The
yeah.
whole question was about profession. So
yeah.
yeah,
yeah. It was. There were other people that were. Oh, their parents went psycho. But I still have this thing, this book, and you know, we all wrote about each of our every kid in the class. We each wrote things. It was kind mm-hmm. of a nice memory. And then, of course, there's a page on Facebook where. We all went to the same school. It was in North Hollywood.
Okay.
And a lot of the kids that I went to school with were people's children, like famous people's
oh,
children.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. yeah.
There was directors and...
Did you go to the same school as Adam Carolla?
Yeah, Adam Carolla. He was in the third grade when I was in the sixth grade. I did
oh,
not,
isn't that cool?
I did not know him.
Uh-huh.
Because he was in the... He was yeah. a lonely third grader.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't... Very approachable.
Yeah.
But one of my best friends, her mom was Darla on the original our gang.
Little Rascals. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So obviously not in the movie from the 90s.
Yeah, like, not in the...
Yeah,
the,
back
the original,
in
the 90s. The original yeah. one from like the 30s yeah. or whatever.
Oh,
and she named her daughter
nice.
Darla. So she was oh. like my bestie back then. And
that's
you know,
really cool.
They're a... Several. I can't even remember. I'm trying to think. But nobody really, like, super-duper famous, but kind of, like, directors mm-hmm. and people who worked in the industry.
Like,
yeah.
background. Okay. Yeah.
That's better than my, well, we went to the 10-year high school reunion, you know, whatever it was, 6 years ago. Gosh, that sounds crazy to say that's so long ago. But the class president called everyone up on stage, like, you know, oh, and you win an award for something or for driving the farthest or for this or for that. And she goes, oh, and you win the award for the most interesting career. And, you know, we're thinking that this person must be, you know, like this famous football player or maybe they're an author or maybe they're mm-hmm. this or maybe they own a tech company. Who is this person? And she was the backup dancer for Lady Gaga.
Oh.
And that's... All my it's graduating class.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I know. So bad. Anyway, so Mom, what is one thing that you wish you would have done but you didn't?
That one.
When you were younger.
I kind of did everything I really wanted to do. Maybe traveled more.
Yeah.
But everybody thinks that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not Nicole. She travels a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, very general stuff on that. Really, I'm going to be a wash on that one because I
yeah.
really felt like I did a lot of the stuff I wanted to do.
Yeah. And you moved around a lot, so that's
yeah.
traveling, you know,
yeah.
within the U.S., so...
Okay, cool. We're going to move on to my next bunch of questions. We've heard a lot about your childhood, but now let's hear about you as a mom.
Okay.
So, what was the day I was born like?
Well, you were born 2 days after Christmas.
I was. Aww. I'm that kid.
And your due date was 4 days after Christmas, and you couldn't have given me that.
No surprise.
Nope.
But Christmas having my son was 16 and a half months old. And so we celebrated Christmas with him and I was huge pregnant. And the following day and the day that you were born, I was crazy putting Christmas stuff away. I had that whole nesting.
Yeah. Because once you brought the baby home, it's like these Christmas decorations are going to be up until February.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, I got to get these done before the baby's born. And so... the doctor said if you weren't born by the 31st, he would induce so we could have the tax write-off for this
year. Nice. Oh, good looking out, Doc.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, my doctor was this crazy alcoholic. I can't even believe I had him as a doctor, but he was shaking and he stuttered. And your dad used to see him at the liquor store all
oh
the time.
Oh, my gosh! Wow!
You're learning this a lot, yeah.
And I survived the
birth. So I put away all the Christmas decorations and went to bed and woke up about 10:30 at night and felt my first twin.
At 10:30?
10:30.
On the 27th?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
And I was like, hey, I think it's time. So we called your dad's parents because they only lived
like a mile.
And they came over to take care of Chris. And I remember bawling at Chris going, what have we done to him? Oh. He's not going to be an only child anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. And so then went to the hospital. And by the time we got to the hospital, I was like, I feel like pushing. And they're like, no, just get in this, the wheelchair and stuff. And we get to the room, and I'm like, I feel like pushing. And they're like, hold it, stop. And they had called the doctor, but they wouldn't let me push. And I really wanted to push. And she was starting to crown at that point. Ugh. And an hour and a half labor. Well, hour and 45 minutes.
Oh. Yeah.
So.
That's
yeah, good. I was born just before midnight, yeah. Which my mom is always like, you couldn't have waited until the 28th.
Yeah. Giving me an extra day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the nurses were going to deliver you, and he walked in just as you were coming out.
Mm-hmm. And he caught me.
And then he's all, it's a good, it's a good, 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 good. Yeah.
You're all, I see it, it's a girl. Yeah, but, yeah. Someone get this man a beer.
Yes. You know, I've heard so many stories of women being told to wait during labor.
Yeah.
And for some reason that really annoys me. Because you have to listen to your body and do what's natural for you.
Yeah, the baby is and your baby has been, your body has been pushing the baby out for however long you've been in labor. Like for me, it's like I had a 30-hour labor with my first, and the entire time my body had been pushing her out. Like that's what contractions are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so that's interesting.
So you didn't give me any trouble to be born. You were just
very
an easy.
So
birth.
Obviously no epidural.
No, nothing.
Did you have one for my sister?
No, I never had any.
Look at you.
Oh, fancy warrior pants. Woman.
Well, you know, the 80s, I was like a natural woman. You know, no drugs kind of thing. So
yeah.
It was the time.
Yeah.
I think it's more common now to use it.
Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah. I think a lot of people have realized that it's okay.
It doesn't affect the baby.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
So, I know that you had my brother, as she mentioned, is 16 months older than me.
Half. Give me that.
16 and a half. And a half. His birthday is as the 18th, and mine's the 27th. So,
9 days. 16 months, 9 days.
So, what, for you, what was the hardest part about being a mother?
With two?
Well, I mean, not just when we were, because I also have a sister who is 3.5 years younger than me. So, I mean, in general, like, what were some of the biggest struggles that you had as a mom? Or was it all easy?
I just... making you guys clean up after yourselves. But mothering came easy for me. I enjoyed it. I loved it.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like it was hard at all. And, you know, I just...
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you have your daily struggles, but I didn't feel like being a mom was hard.
Yeah. Well, and this goes to my argument I think I made a few episodes ago. I think it was with you. That when you have babies when you're younger, it's being a mom, it's easier because, like,
you have more energy.
Yeah, you have more energy, and you haven't spent, like, Nicole and I both had ours when we were 30-ish.
Older, yeah.
And so we had over a decade of being adults and getting stuck in our ways. And and then these little people come along and you have to adjust to them more. Like for you,
I was just shy of being 22 when Chris was born.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You had more energy.
Yeah.
It could be also a sign of the times maybe. Or I don't know. Because I had a whole, because I went to college and graduate school, then held a whole professional career. And then, so coming back to home and to have a family of my own, it was big.
And you feel the pressure too, like, you come home and you're on maternity leave and everyone the whole time is asking you, oh, so when are you going to go back to work? You're going to go back to work? You know? Mm-hmm. And you feel like you have to because it's just not, even if it's, you know, money aside, but the society looks at you like,
What do you do?
What, you're a mom? What else do you do? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, now I have a podcast, bitch.
Yes.
I love this.
I did things. Like, there was this lady that sold craft artsy craftsy stuff at the mall. Yeah. You know, one of those little kiosks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she'd bring over all the stuff for me, and then I'd glue gun it all together.
Okay.
And so she sold, and she paid me like $1 per item. So if I made 100 items, okay, I got $100.
Well, yeah. There you go. You're working.
Yeah. I did that while they took naps. And, you know, the two of you together, both of you were
raising.
You're like twins, basically. It was two in diapers forever. So, and I enjoyed having Janelle by herself because she was the only, like,
she was
baby.
Your baby. Yeah. Okay. We were all in school and she would be home with you.
Janelle was my shopping buddy. Yeah. We'd go out to breakfast and, you know. So,
very nice. So how was Julianne different than the other kids that you had, like personality-wise?
She was an easy child, very easy child. Like if I told her go clean your room, she'd go clean her room.
Okay.
You know, and she didn't cause problems. She was very easy until she turned like 14. Then it all changed.
Yeah. Yeah. I got hormones.
Whoa.
Yeah, she was a real easy kid.
Yeah. Well, Mom, what is the proudest moment for you as a parent? Or what a proud moment, not necessarily the proudest, but...
Now, or...
Just as a parent.
I mean, you know, the day you guys are born, the day you guys achieve things,
all
the day
the
you
stuff.
Guys get
yeah.
married, the day you guys have kids, that picture right there.
Yeah. Picture right
the
there.
The family photo.
Look, this is
my family.
The family. Look at that.
Oh.
She had a typo on her card.
Oh, okay.
Family.
Well,
family,
my computer crashed.
You got to keep this up. You got to keep that tradition
up. I know, it's a thing
up.
Now.
Hashtag.
Oh, okay. Hashtag family.
I love
right.
that the horse is in there. You're on the, is it ranch? Can I say
yeah.
ranch?
Ranch
yeah.
is
okay.
a good way to put it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, here's a personal question about me. What is a moment... that I hurt you when I was growing up, if you could think of
anything. I you sent me these questions ahead of time just so I'd have something in my head to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a tough time with that one because, you know, probably something you said to me when
yeah.
you were a teenager,
when
but
I was like
I don't
14.
Remember. You let that stuff go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't,
that's true.
I don't remember any one particular thing.
Yeah.
But I know that you, there was one day she was just being like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my other daughter was like, I don't know, 12 or 11. And I looked at my other daughter and I said, promise me something. And she goes, what? And I go, when you turn 14, you don't act like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my other daughter started crying. She's all, you can't make me make that kind of promise.
Oh. I love her answer.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know if that's how I'm going to be.
Mom, what is one piece of parenting advice that you'd want to tell us kids? There's three of us kids, and we all have kids. In fact, all of us had a child within 6 months of each other. So I've got a 5-year-old, and my brother has a 4-year-old, and my sister has a 4-year-old, and they're
good.
All
they're
within
close.
6 months
okay.
of age. Yeah.
Yeah. Well... You actually had said it earlier, what I was planning on saying for this was pick your battles.
Yeah.
Give everything a 1 to 10 and leave the 6 and unders alone.
Yeah.
And only worry about 7, 8, 9 because if you pick on every little thing, you'll go crazy.
Well, and your kids will go crazy too.
Yeah. And so pick your battles, especially when they become teenagers.
Okay.
It's more important when they become teenagers than now. So
that's true.
Yeah.
I'm scared of having teenagers.
Yeah.
What was it like to have teenagers? I remember I went to the grocery store a couple days ago and my bill was astronomical. And I remember thinking, oh, it's because my husband is working from home now. And so he's home. So I have to feed, like, normally I'd just be like, piece of toast for me for lunch. But now I actually have to make a lunch for lunch.
Yeah.
And I remember when my brother was in high school, one of his friends came to live with us, and I lived there, and we all lived in this teeny tiny little house with like makeshift rooms. And I remember you complaining though that like all these damn teenagers in the house, my grocery bill's $400 a month.
It was $800 a month.
Oh, see?
Oh, my goodness.
$800 a month, and that was like in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was insane. Like, I'd go to work to feed all these kids.
But it made me think of you, because I was like, did I really just spend that much money? I'm all, I just need to grab a couple things. $300 later, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And don't ever go to Costco, because Costco tells you, like, buy in bulk. And it's like, no, you just end up buying something that's really good. It's real quality, but it's like maybe 1.5 times, but it costs 4 times. So, like, you can't get out of there without spending $500.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But don't you feel you make your money back? Like, in the membership. So, the membership that you pay, what is it? Like, 50 now? And then I know I don't have Costco now, but I used to love it.
I know we need to go on our Costco trip.
Before. Yes, you know, the gas I think is better, and the buying in bulk actually does help. You know,
I don't know
with freezing the meat. And toiletries.
Yeah, I did. I stuck a bunch of meat in my freezer. That's probably where all my money went. Mm-hmm. But Mom, we only have about 10 minutes left, so I want to make sure that I ask this set of questions. In what ways do you think that I'm like you, and in what ways do you think I'm different?
Well, I think that I feel like you got your artsy side of you from me, even though you've taken it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Well, I definitely didn't get it from Dad.
Yeah. So. Well, and I used to be an artist. I used to draw and make ceramics. Mm-hmm. Back to that.
Well, and you're a photographer.
And I'm a photographer now. You know, I feel like I'm very artsy. Well, so I feel like with that, you're a lot like me.
Yeah, and you convinced me to take my first art class. We went and took that.
Yeah, together.
Yeah, through like the city. And then the lady's like, you should teach the art class.
Oh,
well, I've never even taken one. Well, and then she had me do it, and then I was terrible at it. I'm not a very good art teacher, I don't think.
I think you're fine. You teach my kids. So.
Yeah, well, that's easy to just be like, here's a craft.
Yeah, for the little ones.
So in what ways do you think that we're different?
Well, Well, I think you're smarter than I am.
Oh.
So.
Thank you. I don't know how to respond to that.
That's really nice.
Which is
coming from your mom.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah. I knew we were going to get away with
it. I've been holding
it.
Back tears this whole time.
I feel like that's every parent's wish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That their kids are smarter and do better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you have.
Oh.
Thank you.
That's so sweet. It's so amazing.
Mom, is there anything that you want to tell me that you never have, other than what you just told me?
There's no big secret that I've kept or anything. There's nothing. I mean, I may drive away from here and go, oh, yeah, I could have told her this.
Yeah.
But there's nothing.
It doesn't.
There's nothing.
It's not
in the
inherited.
Back of,
yeah,
there's nothing in the back of my head that I'm like, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm.
And then is there anything that I can do for you right now?
Like a tissue would be.
I have napkins, which actually have questions on them.
Yeah.
What is the most outrageous thing you saw today?
Or heard.
No, look at here. She is wiping tears from it. I'm being comedic.
So.
Nicole, did you have any questions?
Yes.
I know that I've met 7 minutes.
Okay, I'll be quick. I've met you before, and I really want to commend you on raising a beautiful human being who
Thank
is
you.
My friend.
Thank you.
And I just want to ask, what is it like, because I know you've been married twice, so your first husband is your child's father.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going through that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know how your experience was, no specifics, but just what maybe advice you would give me, because I'm in the thick of it right now.
Just be a united front with your ex and the both of you work together to raise your child. Not that I did that, but I feel like that would be the best way to go about it. I mean, mm-hmm. her dad and I, you know, we wanted the best for our children. Mm-hmm. But I wish we could have gone about it a little more as a united front.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I feel like the kids went over there and they had a separate set of rules.
Yeah.
And I wish that we could have worked that a little harder as far as being, I don't know, maybe a little stricter with them or something together, you know.
Right.
Okay. I feel like that might be easier for you because when my mom got divorced, my brother and I were teenagers and my sister was 10. So we were a lot older. And I mean, for you, yours is 5. Mm-hmm. So she's, I mean, it's really going to be what she knows. Like, we grew up in a family that we always thought would be a family. And then for it to be broken, it was a shock to all three of us, I think. My sister, I think, had the easiest time with it because she was younger. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, well, this is life now. And my brother and I were like, what?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know? But for you, I mean, that's pretty much what she's going to, this is life now. And like my mom said, if you have a united front, then she's still going to feel like it's a family.
Yeah.
And not.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. And then how is it finding love after divorce?
Well,
funny story. Hold on. Funny story about finding love after, because she actually found love before she married my dad with my stepdad. They dated in high school. And then her dad, the same one, my mom's dad, the same one who hung rabbits from the swing set, made them break up because he wasn't a good influence or just didn't think he was good enough kind of thing.
Okay. Like
they, well, he drove up into my yard with, because we were a ranch, we lived on a ranch, with a little mini pickup truck with a camper shell on the back. And his hair down past his shoulders and a mustache and stuff.
Okay.
My dad's all, you're not dating him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then she went off, became an adult, married my dad, was with him for 17 years, then got divorced, and then started dating my stepdad.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Who she had dated.
So you found each other again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no ex that I ever want to get back. But I'm glad to hear that for
we
you.
We never broke up. Because of bad feelings. We broke up because my dad wouldn't let me date him.
Sure. Okay. Good.
So, which we continued to date.
That's like such a timeless story. Yeah.
I'm like, really, Dad? Okay. I'm going to go spend a night at my friend Cindy's house, all
right? Right, right.
Not that I spent the night with him, but.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's good to know there's light at the end of the tunnel. Not that the you know, resolving divorce is finding love again, because you don't want to make a mistake and get into another situation where you're divorced again. But, you know, that's something that I look forward to, you know, having a relationship with somebody.
Oh, my relationship with my husband now is amazing.
So do you feel like the second time around, you're just better at marriage?
Yes.
Or you try hard? Or
I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then he's been an amazing stepdad.
Yeah,
to,
he has
to
been.
The kids.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard at first, like I said, when my brother and I were teenagers and we were like, what the hell is happening? And my stepdad bought everyone tickets to go see The Offspring as like a olive branch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can buy love.
Which at the time I was like, this is awesome, but I still don't like you. But now I look back and I'm like,
that was kind of a big deal. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. So, we can only record for an hour. So, unfortunately, we're done. But I wanted to really thank you, Mom, for coming on. This has been great, and it really meant a lot to me. And hopefully one day, you know, when my kids are older, they can listen to it and then be like, you guys were weirdos.
Or, you guys were really cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I play it for them when they're teenagers, they'll be like, okay, you guys are losers.
Yeah, exactly.
But this has been Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. I am Jules. You can find me at Suburban Artsy Mom on Instagram, suburbanartsymom.com. Nicole is the admin for the Enraged Women group on Facebook. You can find them on Facebook. You can also find them on Twitter and Instagram. And we also... Lipstick and Laughs podcast is on Instagram as well. Everyone's on Instagram. Let's all be honest. Mm-hmm. You can actually also find my mom at Barbie_photographer on Instagram. Yeah.
And okay.
She's
I like that.
Yeah, it's really cute. She has we didn't talk about it, but she really likes Barbies.
Ooh. Maybe you'll have have to come back.
Which is a new thing.
Yeah, it's a new thing. I didn't like Barbies as a kid.
Oh.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you all so much. And thank you to my mom.
So
she drove 2 hours to get here.
I learned
here.
A lot. And I appreciate you.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
I appreciate you too. Thanks for stealing my line. thank you all so much.
Mwah.
This has been Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. If you'd like to be featured on our podcast, please reach out to us at lipstickandlaughspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.